Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 399 of This Week in League.
I'm Nate. And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you doing, fellas?
Tell you what.
Magic ground done.
I'm feeling I am magic.
Basking in the happiness of all three of our teams winning on the same round.
Yeah. A lot of people mentioned this to me on, you know, Friday night saying, like, wow, I mean, this... You know, there's every chance it's the first. I wouldn't have realized it was the first time, but yeah, so many people, you know, actually brought it up to me, saying
a
this
true
could be
magic
the first
round.
Week that everyone's teams will win.
Well, it makes no difference to me. We win every week, and it's literally been the both of you two shit cunts that have been holding this back from happening before. I've done my part every single fucking week. So,
and let's face it, Manly got their shit together pretty fucking early in the season, to be honest. But you know, the Tigers got up there, and like, I'd also like to, you know, I don't want to like preempt the actual recaps themselves. But last week it was all fucking the Defender Tron 3000, blah blah blah, because I had the fucking audacity to suggest that perhaps magic could happen and the Tigers could beat the fucking Knights. Well, go fuck your vacuum cleaner, Glenn. You fucking.
Well, that's not a Defender Tron.
You deserve the fucking the suction fucking
Jesus Christ
the suction circumcision tron motherfucker
the fucking look Glenn just gave you the last time I saw a fucking redneck give a city slicker that look, the words that came out of his mouth next were, "Watch it, son, or you'll be picking bindies out of your back."
I thought you were going to say squeal like a pig.
Oh no.
Brush up on my banjo.
Anyway, I think we should talk about the general magic round in as a whole. Thank you to all the people that came out. It was great to see so many old faces and new faces as well, and you know, some good chat was had, multiple drinks were had, and let me tell you, the legend of Grover fucking grows year on year. I mean, like, you know, he's the oldest looking 24-year-old I've ever fucking seen. And, you know, obviously the rigors he puts himself under, you know, is directly, you know, contributes to that. But he was just about first one in on Thursday morning, I think. He was up before lunch on Thursday.
Yep.
And he was one of the last ones out. And he was drunk the entire fucking time.
I took my boy to the Panthers game last night. We went and closed out Magic Round in style. And we ran into Grover on the way into the stadium.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that that was on my bucket list. But introduced my kid to Grover.
So talk me through it. How'd that go then?
Oh, no, it was good. It was a good chat. We're walking off and he goes...
Who's that old man?
Was that guy happy because his team won? Or is he just a happy guy? I'm like, yeah, nah, he's a happy guy. He's always on.
See, adults have this magical drink, a magical water called Fireball. and Uncle Grover really likes to drink a lot of it.
It's like a credit card for your problems. You don't have them right now, but at some time in the future.
Sign up now to the Grover card.
And,
yes.
We had obviously one of our patrons who's burst on the scene this year, old mate Ned, and it's, I think he found like his heterosexual life partner in noughts this weekend. The two of them seem to be just absolutely joined at the hip for the entire time.
Great.
And had a great time.
Great guys, so, the pair of them.
Yep. So it was great to see everyone. Looks like everyone had a fucking tremendous time. It was great in 2019 when it first kicked off. It was great this time, and obviously it's been renewed for another two in Brisbane. Certainly the next year, though, it's locked in already by the Queensland government. So that's something to look forward to. And although people kind of, you know, were FOMOing after the first Magic Round, now you have no excuses. I mean,
yeah,
you've had so much warning. Provided no one eats a fucking bat, get up here next time.
Yes, exactly. I mentioned this to a bunch of people. I loved that this was closer to the multi-game days of my youth. The couple of things I miss about living in Sydney and being able to go to, you know, three games over the course of a weekend is definitely one of them. But this was a whole bunch of people around, and contrary to what seems to have happened on the socials over the last, you know, 5 or so years, there were people of different jerseys sitting together.
Yep.
There were, you know, fans of this club who became fans of another team for 80 minutes for whatever reason and cheered just as hard as as that team's usual supporters. So in essence, what I'm saying is that if we can get Israel and Palestine to Magic Round 2022, I'm pretty sure we can just put all that shit to bed. Can you imagine?
Not sure how they'll cope with the fireworks.
Well, you know how they'll cope with the fireworks, Glenn? I'll tell you. They'll go back to their homeland. And in the Gaza Strip, where there used to be the blood of murdered children, there will be air raid guns that fire into the night sky. But they won't be shooting at planes or rockets. In tracer bullets, they'll be spelling out, hashtag fuck the Broncos.
Poetic.
Seriously, the whole vibe of the weekend was magical. Was almost completely dickhead free. Everyone was there having a great time. It was a fucking stellar weekend.
Agree. Any final words on the Magic Round itself that you'd like to add there, Glenn?
Obviously, enjoyed being able to watch the Tigers live and have them actually play reasonably well and win. And just catching up with everyone. It was a lot of running around. We come down Friday night, went back after the games, got home at 1 a.m, was up again at 5:45, got ready, rushed around, soccer, all the rest of it, and then rushed back down. But once I got to Fritz and sat down and started chatting with everyone, I just felt the pressure valve come off, and just could really relax and enjoy myself. It was and just catching up with so many people, it was, like you say, just the whole vibe around it was very cool. I really enjoyed it.
Yep.
Excellent. All right. And in the interest of the fact that I'm actually a bit fucking tired, and let's get through these recaps, talk about the games.
Can I just say, you look fucked.
Yeah.
I mean this in the nicest possible... What was that? You look fucked. I mean it in the nicest possible way.
I like tonight... Yeah. Like now. Yeah, I'm a little bit short of sleep. It was still fucking all good. Now, the recaps. So we kicked off the first game, and Glenn, I'm sure, has been busting to fucking talk about for a couple of days now, is the West Tigers 36 defeated the Newcastle Knights 18. Tigers tries through Luke Brooks, a double to Dewey. Tamau, Nofaluma and Talau also with tries. 5 of 6 conversions for Dewey and a penalty goal. Defeating Knights 18 tries to Hunt, Jones, Brayley and Tyson Frizzle-Manizzle. Tex Hoyer with 1 conversion from 4 attempts. Take it away, Glenn.
Well, there's a lot made about Maguire's team selections prior to the game, and people, including myself, doubting whether they were going to spell another nightmare for the Tigers. But it's, as we've said before, about small sample sizes. It's 1 week, so it's probably important not to get too carried away. But can't deny Dewey's performance in the centres, but most importantly, Mbai at six as well had some really good touches. And I think Brooks probably had his best game in 2 years. A couple of other players for the Tigers. Seafarth came to the Tigers with big raps on his defence, and he was, you know, meant to be an enforcer and a guy that was going to shore up the middle, and I hadn't really seen much of that in him. And he's copped a lot of heat from the fan base, but he probably had three or four moments in defence that that rocked guys, and three occasions he actually, you know, it resulted in turnovers in the Tigers' favour. So that was impressive. Although BJ Leilua, he's playing for a contract, so it's almost a bit, I'm not sure what the word is, but, you know, he's putting these together in the hope that he's going to get a contract for at least next season. So take that for what you will. But when he's actually interested in rugby league, he's fucking difficult to fucking handle for any defence, I think. So
yeah,
it's the challenge for any coach, and has been the case over his entire career, and I don't know that it's going to last much longer than perhaps this season, or at least the moment where the ink is set on a new contract extension. When he's on, fuck, he's a valuable asset. Having said that, the Tigers were good in large parts of the game, but Newcastle were fucking horrible. They were bad. And Kurt Mann was the worst of the lot. I thought he probably had the worst individual game by any player I've seen, definitely so far this season, if not all of last season as well. He was fucking atrocious.
Maybe that's the thing. Who's that superhero that takes the powers of whoever they're next to?
I don't know. In what world are we talking about?
I don't know. I feel it's one of the X-Men.
Oh, okay. Well, fuck yeah. Not my field of expertise,
anyway,
unfortunately.
That's who Kurt Mann is. So pause. Go and Google that. And once you understand the reference, come and fill in this blank. Because Kurt Mann, he had a fucking stellar game against Penrith when he played. And you're right, was absolutely atrocious against
in attack
the
and defence. Like, he missed two tackles that led directly to tries. One on one.
Is that the most rocks and diamonds player in the competition this year? Like, his ceiling to floor variance, is that the biggest we've seen?
I can't think of another player that comes close, to be honest. Even if you just base it on those two performances. Fucking Jesus.
It was something I was looking at today. The difference between the teams at the top, I guess, third of the ladder, and then the ones under that, it's not as it typically is, where you've got the front runners who are, you know, great football teams, and they're all there executing, and then the rest are, you know, sort of building or not quite there yet. All of the teams in the bottom two-thirds of the ladder are capable of amazing games, with the exception of maybe the Dogs. We probably haven't seen one out of the Broncos yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all capable of these almost world-beating performances, but then can also dish up something like that. You know, no matter who you're playing, it still takes something. It takes a lot of fucking effort and shit coming off to put 50 on.
No one does that turnaround better than the Tigers.
That's what I'm saying. So, the consistency in that whole group at the bottom of the table seems to be the issue.
But that's...
I just want to know who put the edict out there for the Newcastle Knights to say, take every fucking dummy that Luke Brooks throws, because they were taking that job so seriously. It was like they were told to do it.
Yeah.
Oh man. Anything else on that one, boys?
No, I got nothing.
Nice, Alex, the super stats graph man in the Facebook group said, "I'm in bed with shingles. I had to give away my Magic Round tickets, but I'm still so damn happy for you, Glenn." There you go. There's a fucking
champion.
There's some just, I don't know.
That just speaks to the warm feelings of friendship and community that you previously mentioned, you know, when we were talking about Magic Round as a whole.
Yes. Mm. There you go. Daniel said, not surprised by this result, to be honest. It's a big occasion, a milestone match for one of our players, and we're playing the Tigers. We usually lose all these games on their own. Nathan said, as a Knights fan, there is no greater humiliation than getting rammed by the Tig Pies twice in the first half of a season. Hashtag Knights in decline. At One Eyed Tiger said, all we do is win Magic Rounds. So
it's true.
It's true.
Diff 2.
Shantai.
Is that it? I know, China.
He said, congratulations to the Tigers on winning the Ivan's Fault, Wayne's Fault Cup.
Now, I just need to pause
there. Do you want to talk about your response to that one there?
I'll finish off with Vanessa at Charlie with two eyes, two. Said, great win by the Tigers. I hope there's at least one positive comment from each of you. Has there been a weekend where all three of your teams have won? Would be a Magic Round indeed. Well, Charlie.
And it is.
You've had positive comments from all of us, but you only play the Newcastle Knights. So don't get too far ahead of yourself.
Now, so back to Shunter's tweet. That was my response to that.
You can't tweet in Facebook. It was in the Facebook group.
Well, the first instance was I check my phone and I see that I've got like an admin issue in the Twill Nation Facebook page. So I go in there and have a look, and it's usually someone that's called someone a cunt and they've got zucked and it's been immediately deleted by Facebook themselves, and then they just say, look, there's no problem with it. Just letting you know, this is what's happened. This time, though, it was an admin violation, which means it came from one of the three of us, and I wasn't on my phone during the game, so I knew who it fucking was. Sure enough, Glenn has done something, and they go, these admin... they make a pain to say when someone in the group just calls someone a cunt or something, they say, these things won't affect your group at all, just letting you know.
Yeah.
But then when an admin does it, it's like... if there's much more of this, you're putting the fucking existence of your fucking group in jeopardy. And then I went to see what the actual comment was, and it's just blocked off, and it says, by our you know community rule, but we don't show comments that what does it say, like, you know, inciting violence or you know something or other, something like that, inciting violence, something like that. And so then just by, you know, sheer fluke, we're walking out of Suncorp because we weren't sitting with Glenn. And then we're walking out of Suncorp. Then all of a sudden I hear someone yell out my name. And there's Glenn and, you know, with his son and his mate and his sons walking the opposite direction. And, you know, so our paths had crossed in the concourse there as we were walking out. And so one of the first things I'm saying, what did you put on Facebook? And you go, he refused to tell me in the presence of his child. even if he was standing 4 meters away, he just refused to tell me. So then it comes down to like, it was like the next day when you told me, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so what did you say? And like, let's remind people, like Shunter, he's been around this show for a very long fucking time, and the community really galvanized around him when he got destroyed by a Zorb at Penrith Entertainment several years ago.
And I think so Sam probably summed it up.
What did you say to one of the real good guys? What did you say to one of the real good guys in our community, Glenn? Tell us.
Now, if I can remember correctly, it was, fuck you, Shunter, I will cut you and fuck you in your bad ankle.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about what you told me the other day. That's ballpark, I think, yeah.
I remember, so sorry.
Were you planning on cutting a hole in his bad ankle and fucking that?
Yeah,
or were you
that's
just
the plan.
Yeah, okay.
I thought he was going to cut his leg open or cut his leg off or something like that.
I was emotional. I wasn't thinking straight. Clearly,
When your family finished their crumb cutlets, are they at risk of you fucking jacking yourself off with the fucking bones? Like, what are you fucking his ankle for?
Crumbed cutlets. Where did you go there?
That's the first thing I could think
experience,
of.
Experience of a Western Sydney upbringing. That's how he went there.
You know, you're not eating T-bones. Put it that way.
Oh, come on now. Oh, I'm a changed man. Can we make the episode, can we call the episode Crumb Cutlets just for the childhood memories it brings back?
I just took the note that I literally, that's what you saw me have my phone in my hand for. I was writing it down as a note for the episode title.
Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck me. The Melton Hotel and Crumb Cutlets. Oh, fucking. My childhood summed up in one meal.
I'm looking at your face and I can see that right now you're actually like sense memory. You're tasting them. You're tasting those Crumb Cutlets.
Oh, they're fucking ordinary, but geez, I'll shovel them into my face at a rapid rate of knots.
Oh, this week in food nostalgia.
What the fuck? Oh. Of all the things you could have come up with.
Oh, you had like a tear in the eye. I mean, you're back there. Oh, little Glenn, before he decided to fucking turn his back on his state and support Queensland.
He's fucking got me in the gills. That's fucking good. I love it.
Right, moving anyway. On. The Mighty Manly. Oh, sorry. Yeah, anyway, yeah, we'll move along. Mighty Manly Seagulls 50 ended the Broncos season 6. Manly's 50 came through a double to Tommy Turbo, Sean Kepi, Jake Turbo, Lachlan Croker with tries, as well as Jason Saab with a double. Oh, Schuster got his first try as well. Nice one, lad. Garrick, 8 conversions and a penalty goal. And some of those tries were fucking right out there too. Like, so he was kicking them over from everywhere. Beautiful night. Osako scored the only try and goal for the Brisbane Broncos.
Yeah, he's now the third leading point scorer.
Yeah, and Ruben Garrick was briefly the leading point scorer after that game.
Yeah,
because Penrith hadn't played their game yet, so which is crazy considering the points that Penrith have put on through this entirety of the season, and like Nathan Cleary obviously automatically getting 2 points, you know, pretty much every try they score, and the start, you know, contrasted with the start that we had, it's like it's a, you know, he's fucking done some catching up, you know, pretty quickly recently. So another fucking amazing performance. I mean, this game, I went into this game with a couple of criteria. One, I needed a win. Just Broncos in Brisbane, fans are cunts. I needed a win. Even if it was like an ugly one like Penrith got a couple of weeks ago, I'd take the win. I wanted one. I wanted to win by 30, you know, just for, you know, emotional reasons. And then to fucking, you know, to nearly win by 50 is just fucking tremendous. Mm. Like, the only worry I had about the Broncos, their back line's garbage. Why would you fucking sign any of them? They didn't hold any fear for me whatsoever. However, their forward pack is, like, fucking great. Like, I mean, it's undoubtedly they have a couple of players in there that, you know, most, if not all teams would, you know, be happy to have, you know, running out for them at some, you know, at some time. And fuck, man, like the growth of Sean Kepi continues. When we benched Marty to start the game, I thought, fucking, it's a brave move, fucking, you know, keep sitting your number one guy down to start, and, you know, having this young bloke, you know, be the guy that's kind of got to hold the line against, you know, your Tevita Pangais and, you know, your Payne Haases and guys like that. But he's just got like some of that old school, like Mark Carroll sort of fucking mentality. He's an aggressive young fucking guy and he's a great defender and he fucking did the job. And then when Marty came on, I mean, he threw a horrible fucking offload with his first touch, nearly resulting in a Broncos try. But other than that, after that point, he played one of his best fucking games for the club.
Yeah.
Just fucking tremendous. The forwards just stood up like a motherfucker. And then the backs off the back of that, they did exactly what they were supposed to do, you know, with excellence. I mean, again, Saab's burning cunts down the outside. You know, the kicking game to Saab has evolved now and he's turned into a legit sort of Daniel Tupou-esque target now when nothing else is doing, just fucking put it up on the try line and let him do what he does. And, you know, I think every time a kick went across field to him, he either scored off it or he was still the first one to it and tried to bat it back and, you know, make something happen, you know, with another phase of play. Daly played fucking amazing game, controlled everything beautifully. The only downside, Foran finally got injured. Took 10 weeks to fucking get injured.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a Foran injury either. It wasn't some, you know, he didn't fucking do a hamstring or anything. He fucking broke his hand. So he'll be out for a couple of weeks. We've got a bye in there that sort of helps his recovery time a little bit in terms of games missed. But then that just allowed Josh Schuster to then take, you know, fulfill his destiny, which is ultimately going to be the 5/8 of the club. And so he got to actually slot in there for the first time since last season when he had a half a game against the Tigers there in his debut. And yeah, he's fucking great, didn't miss a beat. So could not have been happier with the performance. And the only try the Broncos scored was just like a minute before halftime, and it was just fucking lazy finishing by Brad Parker and Schuster, where they tackled Isako, and then they were rolling off obviously to not incur six again or whatever, but Isako had kind of not fully gone to ground, and so he sort of, you know, they sort of rolled off his back, and he just, you know, had the presence of mind to jump over and score a try. And for that to be the only points they scored, it was fucking extremely pleasing performance. There was nothing in it that I could not fucking complain about a single thing. Everyone did their bit, and it's just exactly what you want to fucking see.
Yeah, nice one.
And the Broncos fucking leaving the ground is so fucking satisfying. It's their own goddamn fucking ground, and to wave those cunts out is just magnificent. And I'll tell you, we want to talk about fan bases. These fucking Broncos fans, let me tell you something about shit fucking fan bases. There were these gigantic Broncos fans sitting in front of us. I'm talking like, you know, two seats holding fucking six people's worth of human mass, right? And they left and didn't fucking return on the 30-minute mark. And I don't know, you can probably look up the play-by-play of the game. When Reuben Garrett kicked that penalty goal to take Manly to 20-0, that's when they walked out. And they did. And I thought it was 10 minutes before half-time, so I thought, well, fuck, obviously, you know, to look at them, they fucking needed... They obviously were, like, you know, hanging for cake or something, so they were going to get a rush on the half-time crowd or something. Nah, did not fucking come back at all for the entire fucking game.
It just seems like a waste of time to go to all the trouble of getting to the fucking ground, making your way to the seat, watching half an hour of football, then fucking off home again.
and Glenn, let me tell you, it was legitimately a half an hour of football because they didn't take their fucking seats until the Broncos. They didn't watch the Tigers game. They took their seats in the gap between those two games.
So hang on.
So it wasn't like they'd enjoyed a game and a half.
There's the fucking stark possibility.
Yep.
That one of them had a heart attack and died. And that's the reason they didn't come back.
Yeah, but they brought it on themselves from walking up the fucking stairs again, didn't they?
Give me shit.
They could have stayed in their seats and enjoyed the whole game, and they wouldn't have had to worry
and
about
you're
it.
You're giving me shit for flashing my headlights at people doing 80 in the right-hand lane on the fucking highway.
Oh my God, I tell you what, he was the Friday night Manly Sea Eagles of fucking rage driving. Right, Jesus Christ, he was just fucking barging through at will. And physically and mentally abusing his opposition on the roads, much like a Tommy Turbo on the fucking entire Brisbane Broncos side. I had to be the fucking voice of reason, and I love road raging, but I had to be the voice of reason. Stepdad is so fucking bad. I had to sit there and be the voice of reason and say, look, mate.
It was like I had a fucking hipster Gandhi next to me going, oh, maybe they just got some fucking notice that a loved one's in
fucking
hospital
or something. You don't know what's going on in their life. They might have fucking...
Well,
they might
fucking get there sooner, cunt. They're on their way
their
out.
Their dad might have fucking died. You know,
don't slow down. Don't take longer to get there. You don't know how long they've got left. So I was actually helping these people.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Socials. Jason in the Facebook group said, Asako's try reminds me of mates trying to keep me away from rough women in the late 90s. I used to seem to get over the line too. Lachlan said, Broncos are just a shit club now. The gamble hasn't paid off. Milford is non-existent. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. This is how low the fan base has fallen. Cruzy said, ah, well, I had a good night out either way. See you guys tomorrow.
And we did see him tomorrow and we had a great time. So
he threatened to bring those fucking half-dead chicken fucking babe duck baby fucking things next time we see him. And I don't want any part
of it.
Yeah. Yes, he brought his strapping young son Balut.
Good Lord, you're on fire.
Garth said, I'm a fucking Broncos supporter through and through. Even though I put a bet on for Manly to win 24 plus. $400 makes it easy to swallow, but fuck me, it's hard to watch. Yeah, it is too. But congratulations to you, sir, on being such a fucking shrewd investor. As to capitalise on your own misery.
pragmatism wins in all cases.
James said four and missing had the same impact on the scoreline as Milford being on the pitch for the full 80. on Twitter, at Moragaz79. Said, one guy, one jar was easier to watch than that. After the last few weeks, we took 18 steps backwards. And this is, like I was saying before, it must be incredibly fucking frustrating as fans of the teams lower down on the ladder to see yourself build and build and build and then all of a sudden be back to square one. It'd be fucking horrible. At Joseph Palazzi said, those sin bins were the best thing to happen to the Broncos. Gives them a different headline to focus on outside the fact that they are worse this year than they were last. Hashtag fuck the Broncos.
Yeah, and we probably should, this was the first game where I saw, emphatic refs faulting and you know, because we had the crackdown obviously this weekend. It was 2-2 in terms of the binnings in the Tigers game, and I think we would agree that they didn't, by and large, they didn't colour the result at all, right? Would you agree with that? Yeah. Now the Broncos fans were just like, they were down 26-6 with 20 minutes to go in the game, and they were furious that their sin binnings, two sin binnings they had, which were served at almost exactly the same time, it was like two sin binnings served over 10.5 minute period, cost them the fucking game that they were losing by 20 and not really threatening at any stage.
Are we going to go through this on Wednesday with a news section?
We probably will, but when there's... I think we acknowledge them in these recaps.
The games in which they happen. I'm not saying now, but just... I think I've come to my piece on it.
Yep.
In that, again, you don't fall into the fucking trap of being polarised here, right?
Yeah.
CTE is a fucking health issue, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a real health issue, and we're starting to see the effects of it. And cunts' brains get scrambled. Their personalities change. They become aggressive and violent towards loved ones, in some instances.
And the thing is as well, there's the health issue, and it's not a fucking new thing because the NFL has been dealing with this for several years now, and it's progressed over there to the point where now the NFL is looking at the legal liability and 100%. Class actions, I'm not gonna bitch out the NRL for seeing what's going on there and actually being a little bit forward thinking about,
Here's the other thing.
The ramifications of the issue,
You want to talk about, the game won't be around if they keep doing this, the game won't be around if they keep doing this. Do you know when else the game won't be around? When no one wants to fucking play it. Because...
when mothers don't let their fucking children...
To be good enough to be an NRL player, there's the whole fucking outliers, 10,000 hours, whatever you want. You've got to do something for 10,000 hours to become proficient at it. You've got to fucking start young to hit up 10,000 hours of footy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of fucking weekends,
Yes.
And so if there are fewer people saying, yep, I'm going to let my kid play this game, then there's few players for the start. But the other thing is, cast your mind back to any time there's been a fucking health issue in the past. Right? And how the people that stood on the other side of protecting people's well-being look now.
Mm-hmm.
What about all of those people who thought that it was okay to sell cigarettes to children?
Yeah.
But all you people out there that are thinking the game's gone soft, it's this. Here's the analogy. I fucking love ciggies. They're fucking fantastic. They're great for stress. They're good for socialising. They're fucking, you can blow smoke rings and impress young children at birthday parties. It's fucking great. Right? Love a dart. Can love a dart and hate cunts dying of lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't see how you can sit there and say people should be allowed, or we should be allowed to not try and eradicate guys getting their fucking brain scrambled.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that most people you find would agree with what you just said then 100%. And maybe they've got something to do, you know, but yet they might have an issue with, you know, an edict thrown down at the last minute and a crackdown over one weekend, which, you know, significantly, I'm not saying it necessarily altered the results of the games, but it certainly perhaps, you know, amplified.
It changed the course of a couple of games.
Yeah. And I mean, I still feel that the results probably were about right.
Yeah,
but certainly the magnitude of some of them may have been
exacerbated
by that. Yeah, and I would say that cast your mind back to what was it? April was it 2018? Wasn't it when they had that crackdown on the wrestle and the Storm and those guys were getting absolutely fucking hammered with penalties and stuff for about a period of about 2 or 3 weeks and the media was just going fucking berserk about the numbers of penalties in games. So they sort of backed it off a little bit, and the end result was the defending teams that were disadvantaged by the crackdown and ultimately, you know, regained their ascendancy through using the techniques that were cracked down upon.
Which I think that was very different from Volandi's.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Volandi's would bow to a Daily Telegraph campaign like the cunts did back then. Because essentially that's what did it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what I expect to happen out of this is, when I heard about that crackdown, we knew there were going to be fucking sin bins galore this weekend, just passed. And I expect, like most crackdowns, through a combination of players and coaches changing the way they approach their game, and the referees maybe not, you know, being quite as aggressive on the interpretations, they're going to find a new position where they sort of meet in the middle, and guys aren't getting, you know, sin binned like at a rate of, you know, like two per game or whatever.
That's it. Look, the other thing I think should have been explained a bit better is, like, we were discussing this on the weekend. It seemed to be that there might be a couple of high shots, and then if more of them happen, there's going to be some binnings. But then later on in the week, that was completely gone, and it was right from the fucking beginning. It was first contact off. See you later.
Yeah, like in the Manly game, for example, I saw people saying, oh, you know, Tyson Gamble's hit on Garrick, wasn't blah, blah, blah. The cunt was already on report from something he did in the first half and had given a penalty away as well. Matt Lodge, I think it was like one of the first tackles of the game, fucking hit a dude in the head. He didn't get, you know. That's it. So, I mean, and were those shots probably worse than the Tyson Gamble one that saw him spend time in the bin? Probably.
I'll say to anybody refs faulting about their team being negatively impacted is fucking get good. Penrith had Moses in the bin, scored 2 tries. I see no problem with this new rule. In fact, I encourage them to swing fucking arms.
I have to agree with you, Jay. I mean, you know, in this Manly versus the Broncos game, it was 2 sin binnings apiece, and Manly were down to 11 at one point. But did they concede points during that time when they were down to 11? Fuck no. The rest of the troops on the field, they just fucking staunched up and said, we're not going to let the Broncos score in this 50 seconds left of the game where we're down down 2 men. And they didn't. So, like, honestly, if you can't hold teams out when you're down to 11, then, you know, learn to tackle. Learn some passion, energy.
Correct.
Have some fucking pride in your performances.
That's it.
There's a reason why that... I mean, like... You know, they've got like the fucking humans in the suit characters that walk around the Broncos now in the shape of, you know, like, you know, it's like, you know, horse characters and stuff like that. Then it's not like the old days where they have fucking Buck galloping around the field and, you know, all that sort of thing. And it's because of Broncos fans, the bullshit they carry on and the fucking bullshit their team shows up on the field that killed that poor fucking horse. Cunt died of embarrassment. R.I.P. Buck. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. The Raiders, 20.
I'd just like to point out, you don't look as tired 18. Anymore.
I've been
hate is a powerful motivator.
Oh, the calves' blood is the calves' blood and beetroot shots are coursing through me. That just took a little while to fucking start up. The Raiders 20 defeated the Doggies 18. The Raiders 20 came through tries to Corey Harawira Naira, Curtis Scott and Sebastian Chris Williams, 3 conversions and a penalty goal. The Doggies tries to Trotrick Meany and DWZ Avarillo, 3 of 3. Glenn,
there's nothing in this game that convinced me the Raiders aren't still in huge trouble. I think the Bulldogs also a game in patches. You know, this Raiders side really should have dispatched with the Bulldogs quite easily and by some margin, and they've sort of fumbled their way through it and really only come home late in the game. The Dogs looked like they were going to sneak away with a win there in the second half, and it was probably only the Bulldogs being inept and the Raiders stumbling over the finish line that got them home. But certainly wasn't impressed and by no means convinced that the Raiders, their entire season at the moment is on 10 hooks. And I don't know that Ricky Stewart is the man.
Yeah, what's happening with the judiciary with their guys? Because I mean, they had the first send off of the weekend with Papali getting a straight send off from that shoulder charge, second man in the tackle. But the like Whiten with the prowler or the cannonball, it like was fucked. Like it was textbook. And but having said that, I mean, it was probably, you know, one of the contributing factors that they won too, because when Whiten came back on, he was clearly energized and motivated to make up for being a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And he by and large kind engineered of carried it, them
for sure.
to victory. Yeah.
I haven't heard what the suspensions are in line to be for. I just heard that there's over the total amount of weeks was like 25 weeks or something suspensions in line based on the weekend's charges.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Tell you what, do the Canberra Raiders have a fucking PR person? And if so, how the fuck are they letting CHN away with that fucking haircut? Like, if fucking Cardinal Pell came out wearing a Corey Feldman t-shirt, people would say to him, that's not a fucking great look, Cardinal. How are we letting the fucking schoolgirl fucker run around in pigtails? Jesus Christ.
Just to interject on your personal slander, Canberra did confirm that all of their players charged would accept early guilty pleas. Now, what that means is that that Hodgson and Whiten and Josh Papali will miss Saturday's clash with Melbourne. Papali's going to take a 3-match suspension, so that's going to rule him out of Origin 1 as well.
Oh, you hate to see it.
Hate to see it.
Hate to see it. On the
side. But more than that,
You love to see it. At Aussie Jag said, the Bulldogs would struggle to beat a team with 6 players, let alone 12. At JSJ Hogan said, to quote Deadpool, rock, meet bottom.
Funny.
He followed up with, we had twice as many line breaks, half as many errors, a player advantage for a decent amount of time, and can't win or go above 18 points. Yep, it's a fucking problem. Craig, who is on Twitter, at Diminutive Rowdy. I need to know the fucking origin of that handle.
Yes.
For many reasons. Said, can't even win when we have the lead and they have someone sent off. Simply not good enough. And Greg said, the Raiders tried so hard to fuck that up. It's only against the Dogs, but fuck, I'll take it. And Jason said, Papi being sent off was the best thing for the Raiders. It was like it snapped them back into second half gear. Still don't believe they would have clawed it back against even a cup side. Thank God the Dogs exist. Which is a fucking good note. All things out of this game considered, the Raiders were not good at all. But fuck me, they needed a second half like victory story.
Yeah.
Like, as mentally fragile as they are, the silver lining there is it's also easier to fucking kid yourself into taking positives out of something like that game.
Well, it's just going to quieten the voices down for 1 week, and then next week they're playing the Storm and they don't have three of their big guns, so then they've got a reason to lean this time, you know? So I'll tell you, this game, I was actually hoping the Doggies would get, when they got towards the lead, I was actually hoping they'd get the win, because, I mean, I'm just such an adrenaline-driven human that no matter what the result of a game, I can find a way to make it a win for myself. And, like, for me, the win, if the win for the Doggies to actually get in there would have been watching Ricky Stewart just fucking march in there like Martin Bryant and just fucking spray the entire press gallery.
Also, that would have brought fucking Bronco Spoon back into play.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But let's light the candles, not curse the darkness. The Broncos can get their spoon another day. That's the plus side. Now, the Rabbitohs 32 defeat the Sharks 22. The 32 from the Rabbits came from Kalamatangi, Johnson, Jai Arrow, and a double to Cody Walker. Reynolds, 5 conversions and a penalty goal. The Sharks 22 tries to Kennedy, Woods, Britton Nakora, and Hirodi. 3 or 4 conversions for Chad. Who wants to start?
I have almost nothing to say about this game because even though I was...
I've got one thing to say.
I was at it.
Yeah. This game was so fucking boring that the crowd spent a good 10 to 15 minutes playing Mexican waves.
Yeah.
And didn't even watch the game. I mean, the Sharks did bring the crowd back into it a little bit when they actually accumulated some points and got it back to, what was it, about 24-18 or something like that, or 22-18, something. And through largely, you know, some enterprising play from Andrew Fifita, who in this game was played by fucking Guy Fieri. And when you want to talk about bad fucking haircuts, hairstyles, fucking Andrew Fifita fucking went down to Flavor Town and got an offload for Aaron Woods to score the most fucking uninspiring combination of a try-scoring double that I've ever fucking seen in rugby league history.
It was legit like those videos you see, except in this instance there were 2 special needs kids that the other team let score.
I think the Rabbits, they had to step up and respond to last week's drubbing. They took care of business, but there were still plenty of shaky moments for them. I don't know. They've completely erased the memory of last week's game against Melbourne, losing by 50. I think it's probably rattled their confidence a bit. And just on the Sharks, somewhat of a comeback, I think some of Moylan's touches in there is some of the better footy I've seen him play for a long while. And... I just don't know where Moylan ends up with everything going on in the halves at the Sharks at the minute, whether he sticks around or whether he finds another home somewhere else. But it looks like he's trying to play again for a contract. But
is there another home somewhere for him though?
I
like the Tigers would probably take him.
Yeah, we'd take anyone, mate. Let's be honest.
Look, it really was. I thought Brayley for the Sharks was a shining light in attack, and just unfortunately he's playing at a tempo far beyond the rest of that team. You know, there were times where he'd make a break out of dummy half, he'd catch a lazy marker, and it's something I don't see enough of around the league, is with these new rules, the amount of times that the dummy half is not looking at what the markers are doing, not listening for the markers being called out offside, and just passing out. And I get the whole thing. You've got a game plan. You've set up for a play. You've got your shapes ready. Just, you know, run it. But God, he looked dangerous when he ran, but he never had anyone with him. Just never had anyone with him. It was such a fucking shame. But, fuck the Sharks. Hashtag. There's a new fucking hashtag for you. On the socials, one of my favourites, Mark in the Facebook group, said that'll be Reynolds' last win at Suncorp for a while. And on Twitter, B.43 said Chad Townsend with the Paul Gallen tribute and the 4th tackle hit up.
From halfback.
Yeah. And they were the only fucking decent comments on that one. Probably because that was one of the ones that I forgot to put the game thread up until it was fucking hours over. So
Yeah. I don't think you would have done much better if you did have it up in a timely manner. I mean, that was the that was a game where I was literally sitting in the ground at the game, and I can barely, like, apart from that fucking Guy Fieri, Aaron Woods try, I struggle to recall anything else that happened, and it was that fucking bad. The Roosters 30 defeated the Cowboys 16. The Roosters 30 came through double to Angus Crichton, double to Daniel Tupou, Sam Walker and Ikavalu also with tries. Walker, two conversions, and Adam Kieran with a penalty goal. The Cowboys 16 came through tries to Javid Bowen and a double to Drinkwater. Holmes, two conversions, and that's it.
Just when it looked like the Roosters would win by how many, and Jay, you spoke about there was a couple of games where Sin Binnings changed the course of a game. This one changed towards the Cowboys, I think, with the Tupanua Sin Binning, which swung the momentum, and the Cowboys were able to make a real game of it. But then the momentum came back to the Roosters with the shot on Tedesco, which is obviously one that's met with a bit of controversy, and swung the game back towards the Roosters, and they were good enough to close it out. So Sam Walker, again, is the only other point I wanted to make. It's just, again, he's not, he's mature enough to not get that youthful exuberance and have it overplaying his hand, so to speak. He's measured in his touches, but there's no denying the class that he brings. It's really impressive from such a young kid.
Mm.
This was the one that had probably the most controversial binning of the weekend too, I would suggest.
What are your thoughts?
I don't think it deserved a sin binning. I mean, it was absolutely the definition of a accidental contact where the ball carrier, in this case Tedesco, was, you know, on his way down and falling into what wasn't there was no swinging. It was like a very standard attempt at tackle that had they been upright with each other, it would have just been a ball wrapping tackle with his arms like around the height of Tedesco's elbows.
Isn't that funny though, just in that verbiage, how they use it, where if you're charged with a shoulder charge, you're accused of not wrapping your arm, whereas this one, it's a swinging arm.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the thing. It wasn't even really swinging. He was moving in like, motioning like a forklift sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like, but at the same time, while I say that one wasn't deserving of a sin binning, and Trent Robinson on 360 tonight actually acknowledged it as well, and he's extremely fucking eloquent, and I advise people to, you know, if not watch the show, but actually just look for online for his part of the episode, because I know they put it on the socials. And he's very, you know, quite intelligent and eloquent about, you know, when he speaks about these. But the suggestion that fucking Tedesco falls or dives forward or leans or ducks forward before the point of contact with the tackler, as like it's something that, like, it's his fault, and it's like, you know, if he's attempting to game the system or attempting to draw fucking high shots to draw, like, it's just absolutely fucking retarded, that suggestion. And to think that players would fucking put themselves in the position of ongoing
brain
fucking
damage,
especially Roosters players who have seen the career of Boyd Cordner unravel, would put themselves in the position to fucking receive headshots with an undetermined fucking possible payout, which could be a penalty, could be 10 in the bin, could be, you know, is just
could be nothing.
Mind-numbingly fucking, oh, right. Like,
but then also with the potential cost of you, you know, forgetting how to spell, failing your HIA, and spending the rest of the game in the sheds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And probably the following week.
I mean, if you're going to make that, you know, those kinds of fucking, those kinds of suggestions, I mean, fucking think it through first. It's not a fucking profitable enterprise to try and do that, especially the way that Tedesco's been targeted since Origin last year, when it became, you know, I guess mainstream knowledge that you could really fucking knock him out of a game.
And that's what I was saying. It's probably almost the reverse in that people yeah. will go harder at him to, and this yeah before this weekend obviously, but well, what's worse, we're going to get here, we're going to cop a penalty,
yeah.
but he's off the field for at least, what is it, 15 minutes for an HIA? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your minimum?
Yeah.
Great. Fuck Teddy off for 15 minutes. There you go. Reshuffle the whole back line. Take arguably yep. the best player in the game out.
So, yep.
Yeah, it's a little bit silly.
Completely remove his... And also the importance for him in the May 2021 Roosters side with 100 fucking guys yeah. out through injury. I mean, so he also... Yeah, his role takes on an increased level of importance for within the side. So yeah,
but see, here's my only gripe about Magic Round.
Yeah,
is with the actual games themselves. I felt there were very few, if any, games that had any sort of spite in them or rivalry or history. If nothing else, can you imagine that Cowboys team putting in that performance against somebody like the Titans or the Broncos? Like, just some yeah. fucking some local spite. Now, we had the fucking Broncos and Cowboys the week before. You know, how is that a fucking scheduling masterstroke? Anyway. On the socials for that one. Don't want to read the Sharks ones again. Our very good friend and new fan @_sniff_test on Twitter said the North Queensland Cowboys definitely got the best 3-year deal for a 30-year-old halfback for 3 years, said no one ever. Yes, that was what does Chad change in that game?
Well, I made the point last week, like
nothing. No.
What are you gaining as
they've extended drink water as well though, right? Yeah. So three doesn't go into two. I mean, are they going Chad and drink water? Are they going Dearden and drink water? Are they just fucking drink water off, even though they extended him after they brought the other two in?
Yeah. Who knows? At Jared Wetton on Twitter said the Burr sin bin killed the game off. Disappointing, but they can't just keep letting blokes get smashed in the head. No, that is right. Kyle said Robson had a blinder, would kill it behind a dominant forward pack. # run at me, Glenn.
No, I don't disagree. I think he had a great game.
Toto said Roosters are very slick in their set plays. Every set looks like a training run.
Mm.
And Daniel said, imagine letting Walker go because you didn't want to fork out for his Uber. # fuck the Broncos.
Right, the Eels 34 defeat the Warriors 18. The Eels tries to Nathan Brown, Micah Sivo, a double to Regan Campbell-Gillard. Madison and Arthur with a try on Dabu. Moses, 4 conversions. Gutherson, 1. The Warriors 18 tries to Curran, Murdoch Masilla and Reece Walsh. Cody Nikorima, 3 from 3 conversions. Glenn.
We just spoke about Dearden and the Broncos having... let him go. As much has been made of Sam Walker as well. Reece Walsh with some absolute class touches for the Warriors in this game. And he's really, like, he's only come in the last few weeks, made his debut, and he hasn't missed a beat. And he's looked really good in what's not a fantastic Warriors side. They're competitive. But he's gaining some really valuable experience to go along with his obvious talent. And interested to see how he progresses. I don't know if Brownie's the coach to get the best out of him, but he's certainly just, as far as raw talent goes, the Warriors have got away with a steal there by getting him off the Broncos' hands.
It makes you wonder, like, at what point were the Broncos prepared to give him a run, given the fucking people they've got on field at the moment?
Because you look at Milford's performances, and you look at what Reece Walsh is doing as a young kid. What are you?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the advantage in playing Milford? You just run with the youthful exuberance and getting out there and throwing caution to the wind, you know. That would be my take, given the form that Milford's been in for a long period of time now. For the Eels, I thought, you know, they were too good for the Warriors, who were blown out of the water before firing a shot of their own. I think they were down 24-0 at one stage. And Moses' control and his running game, it looked like he was heavily focused on his running game and getting one-on-one with guys and using his footwork and then turning the ball inside to willing support runners. Young Jacob Arthur, also son of the coach, had some really nice touches and come up with a try, which was a good moment for him in his debut. But Eels ultimately too strong at it, and they'd be super happy with having the Warriors come back at them with 18 points, but they were never really out of control of this game.
Yep.
Correct. What do you think of, like, are Parramatta a genuine contender? They're second on the ladder. They don't look like losing games. Are they really up there, or is it still a two-horse race?
Yeah, it's amazing you see Parra and the form that they've been in and the games they're winning. But when you really think about it, can you see anyone getting, you know, anything other than a Melbourne Penrith grand final at the moment? I think Manly beat Parra.
I just look at the Eels. I think the Eels are very largely padded. You know, I mean, you think of the recent wins they've had. I mean, you know, they've beaten the Dogs, they've beaten the Broncos, they've beaten Canberra right in the middle of their fucking faders, you know, meltdown sort of period. They lost to the Dragons. Yeah, they beat the Tigers. I mean, like they haven't had the opportunity to rub up against, you know, some of these teams. And like the game against the Storm, remember that was probably their signature win of the season, all the way back in like about round two or three.
That's it.
And that was like pissing down rain, where the conditions basically removed any advantage that the Storm would have had.
The Storm
them.
Had that uncharacteristically slow start to the season.
Yeah, so, yeah. So, yeah. But look, I don't particularly rate the Eels. I mean, they've done very well to, you know, be in the position they are on the ladder, and you can only play the teams that you are drawn against. But looking at largely at the strength of the draw that they've commenced the season with, I think that then that means they're going to start facing some of the more difficult games later. Mm. And while that might hold them in good stead for you know, finals potentially, it may also just expose them and drop them down the ladder a few pegs.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Socials on that one. At R. Benso said, very happy with that win. Absorbed a bunch of pressure like we sometimes have not been able to do. Stayed patient instead of panicking. And at @rugbyforall_JP on Twitter, doing his bit out there, growing the game in Japan, said, to quote my permaband alter ego, Warriors suck balls. Both RTS and Tohu making rudimentary errors. Maybe doing heavy lifting each week makes a star tired.
Understandable.
Maybe.
That's it. Well, again, that was another one that I forgot to put the thread up. So,
yeah. All right. So, a spicy one. Storm 44 defeat the Dragons 18. The Storm's 44 a hat trick to Josh Adokar, Kenny Bromwich, Irima, and Big Nelson with tries. Jerome Hughes, Justin Olam, and George Jennings as well. Smoothie, 3 of 5 conversions, and just one for Nico Hines. Goal kicking, not his strength. Rabalawa with a hat trick. Cody Ramsey also with a try, and Corey Norman 1 conversion. This one, of course, was changed on its head very early when we had the eternal fucking grub, Josh Maguire, sent to the bin pretty early on in the piece, and shortly thereafter, it was a Fumiono, wasn't it? Who axed Puppy, and he found himself sent off pretty early. That was during the commission of the first try for the Storm, wasn't it? Yeah. Was it their first try when Pappy got axed?
Yeah.
And he gave the pass to Fox to score the try, and well after that. And look, I've seen people disputing the severity of the shot that was put on Pappy, despite the fact that he was face down, fucking dead, and required stretchering off the field. It's, and it goes back to what you said when we were talking about Teddy. exactly how much of fucking an actor do you think these teams are? And they're going to you don't get an HIA if you're stretched off the field. There's no fucking, there is no daylight. There's no light in the tunnel. You are not getting back on the field, no matter how good you're acting.
I would like to point out that our good friend Super Grover has just let us know that the newspapers are trolling the Dragons. There's the headline today was Paps KO, Mars win. but this one, Nate, to your point before, I don't think the result of this one was ever in doubt.
No.
But the magnitude of it was changed.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think it was, because unlike some of the other teams that are too busy fucking bleeding about the cunts that got put in the bin this week, the Dragons actually fucking solidified as a result of the players being down, scoring tries when down. They were in the game to a huge extent at halftime. Yep. And although obviously the Storm against a 12-man side, obviously a 13-man side should, under the, you know, principles of fatigue and the rest of it, they should pull away at the end, as they did. But the Dragons gave them a fucking shake for a while in this game, far longer than I ever would have expected they would have after the send-off. And so I think that, like, although the margin, you know, it seems quite high, I think the Dragons, you know, walk out of there with their heads held high.
Yeah, 100%.
But not for one fucking second were they disadvantaged by the refereeing in this game, because at the end of the day, that shot on Pappy was fucking terrible, and it was exactly why the crackdown was a necessity.
Yes.
Or why the administration felt that a crackdown was a necessity.
Correct.
Do you remember the when they did the State of Origin game in the States, and they used a spear tackle as the graphic example of how brutal the game was? I think if they were doing an advertisement for these new games, or a infomercial as to why these new rules have been implemented in the crackdown, tackles like that one are, as you say, are exactly the reason the crackdown is there in the first place, and people still want to fucking whinge about it. It defies belief that, you know, if you understand nothing else, surely you understand a tackle like that. There's been a couple others where, you know, that they're operating in the grey a little bit, but that one's cut and dried above all.
Mm. Yeah.
And no one's saying this is easy.
No.
You know, again, this is a game where how you perform under fatigue can be the differentiator between winning and losing. Mm-hmm. And here's that thing where if you are absolutely fucking gassed and somebody gets past you and you know they fucking got you for speed, there is an instinctual reaction, if you've been playing the game long enough, to try and get any part of you to grab any part of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And sometimes your arm straight out by the side of your body is at their face. Mm. At Devon Head on Twitter said, "I'm not saying," and fucking tagged him in it, well done, "at Josh Maguire 90 is a cancer on a club, but I'm not saying he isn't either." Hashtag Red V. Hashtag One Nation under Griffin. God. Oh, my God. At underscore Appa Yip Yip 44 said, "I've deleted and rewritten this tweet about 10 times, but all I have is this. Maguire's a cunt. Fui's a dumbass. Corey Norman is a living embodiment of piss stains and cheap vodka." Oof. Dan in the Facebook group said, "Love that they cut to Bellamy after the Josh Maguire's hip drop in time to see him mouth the words, 'That's our move.'"
That was pretty ugly, that tackle. Fuck.
Yeah.
I thought that one had gotten rubbed out. I mean, they actually stamped that out pretty quickly, I thought. But then here we go. Just put it down to Josh Maguire to bring back the classics.
Yeah.
Like you did with eye gouging the year before last.
I'll tell you what, if you're the Dragons, fucking hell, hopefully you put a cooling off period in that cunt's contract. Mm. Because now that these new rules are coming, he'll play half the season if he's lucky. Mm.
Imagine being in a position where you hear the Jack DeBellin verdict, and you look at your roster and you've got Josh Maguire, and you're like, well, if we can get DeBellin back in, we'll stick Josh in the Reggies and we'll be better for it.
Yeah. We'll drop our fuckhead level by
10%. Yeah, that's saying something.
By bringing the fucking rapist back. Fuck, man.
Fuck the Dragons. and their fans.
That if you that's that all your tweets you got there, Jay? All right. Final game, Panthers 48, defeat the Titans 12. This one, a hat-trick to Cleary. Leota, Fisher-Harris, Liam Martin, tries. Charlie Staines with a double. Cleary, 8 conversions. Titans 12, tries to Bo Firma and AJ Brampson and Fogarty, 2 conversions. This would be the classic description of the round where you say foregone conclusion, ably exacerbated by fucking numbers on the field. The Titans needed every fucking leg up they could possibly get in this game, and to give themselves a chance.
Yeah,
and they they failed to get it.
As we've already discussed, the Panthers score when anyone's off the field.
Yeah, the thing about the Titans, I think it's just it really makes me worry about Justin Holbrook's tactical brain, because if you know there's a crackdown going on the weekend, and you know that they're going to be really itchy on the trigger finger, and this is the weekend where you're going to get the minor as shit punished.
Yep.
I would simply run every play directly at Kickow and wait.
Yes.
Yeah.
because I think you could get him off the field for probably 30 to 40 minutes under that strategy.
Exactly.
And yet they did not. or conversely, Cleary out-strategized them by hiding Kickow in the line.
Yeah, but when was the last time a coach had to discover a way to hide a forward?
Look, we're all here, Villian. We are all here for you and your rampaging running. But mate, we just cannot allow you to be one on one with anyone, because you're going to hit them high and then you're going to be leave as a man down, mate. So I'm going to get you to hide behind fucking Brian Toto there. Is that all right?
You might want to take the peroxide out of your hair, if that's all right. Maybe dye it back to its natural colour, because you're far more difficult to hide with fucking peroxide hair. And also, Toto is 2 foot shorter.
Yes.
I tell you, on the subject of Toto, fuck, he's busy.
Isn't he?
And you don't see it on telly, but just the way he moves and the way he calls out defenders and makes a fuss of himself and forces, like, reshuffles. He's absolutely fucking sensational. Was a big loss last year when Mansour left. You know, obviously at the tail end of his career, he wasn't the player in crunch time that he used to be. But his meters coming out of trouble were invaluable last year.
Yeah.
And Toto has just picked up and taken off where Mansour left off. Yeah, and then some. Yeah. So. He's basically as effective now as Tomalolo, given that a lot of those meters are uncontested, obviously, you know, bringing back kicks and such. But this Panthers performance was absolutely stellar. And the thing that I liked about it most was they went right for a lot of the night. Most of the season, they've relied on that left-hand side in attack, and rightly so, because it's absolutely fucking dangerous. And paid dividends, you know, for all of the rounds that they went to it. But the fact that they're now showing that they're a threat on either side of the field is really going to start to put defenses in two minds and not allow them to stack like they had been. You know, the Titans made the mistake of really trying to almost like they were saying, we're going to put a wall in front of Penrith. Mm-hmm. But then some late shifts and the forwards they've got with hands like Yo and those guys that can offload a ball or throw the short pass, just the Titans were flat-footed way too many fucking times, you know. And again, you're talking about Holbrook, for that to not change after the first 15 minutes of the game,
yeah,
that's the sort of stuff that as a Titans fan I'd be fairly concerned about. But Penrith just roll on fucking doing what they're doing. Against the top team that Queensland has to offer.
And the Titans really, at this point, I feel like they're extremely disappointing.
They're underachieving this year.
Yeah, yeah. I'm based on like what, you know, the consensus opinion was that they would probably take their positive finish to the last season, positive second half of the year last year, and they would then build upon that
with some new cattle.
with some amazing fucking forward acquisitions. Yeah. And like I feel like they're almost regressing.
But again, it's that same thread, that bottom two-thirds of the ladder, consistency. The Titans are another one. The difference between floor and their ceiling.
The difference with Titans, but their ceiling was like a David Fifita hat trick against Newcastle, who appear to be week on week, you know, increasingly cooked.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I just wonder, you know.
Yes, it was. Socials on that one. My now undeniably favourite Twitter account and one of the greatest Chin things Laden. That I've ever seen, @chin_larden69. I've heard a lot of discussion about the sin bin this weekend, but did you all just see me banish the shittens to the chin bin?
Oh, that'd be shitens, I reckon.
Whatever. Hashtag blinding lights. Hashtag God is good. Hayden, as Jay would say, saving the best for last. Let's be real here. Titans had no chance of Helen winning this game. With that send-off, to be honest, which I thought was appropriate, any player after the first four games would have realised that any high shot would run the risk. Panthers scoring points with a man in the bin also. They're a different team this year compared to last. Hashtag chin win. Hashtag Yeary of Cleary 2.0. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Peter said, how good are the Panthers? Could have put 70 on these cunts, but eased off the pedal so the Broncos would remain as the team to cop the biggest hiding during Magic Round on their own soil. Oh, that's fucking great. Rishi said, Ivan was, quite rightly, not especially impressed in the post-match presser. After the kick-out try was called back for dubious reasons, we stopped playing tough and were punished with two Titans tries. Yes, we were. Toto said, Panthers are organised chaos. They aren't as slick with their set moves as the Roosters or the Storm, but when something unexpected happens, they react faster and smarter than anyone else. There you go. What a fucking way to close off a magic round with a magic half doing magic shit for his magic team.
And the magical scenario of all three of us getting a win.
There you go.
Delightful.
And obviously, you know, some wins better than others, but in some cases, beggars can't be choosers, Glenn.
That's full time
that
on
fucking face. That is full time for $3.99. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in many, many ways. To grab all our links, go to thisweekinleague.com/links. That'll get you to our Patreon, social media communities, and more. And if you'd like to support the show, make sure you drop us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts.
Like, did you almost say raping?
Become a patron. No, I didn't, Jack. My God, it's always the same thing with you, isn't it? It's rape, 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 rape. My God. Now, memberships. I have extremely happy news on the front of memberships. As of today, everything that we need to dispatch the memberships is now in my grasp. So they'll start going out this week, and I look forward to people getting the goodness in their hands. People who were at Magic Round on Saturday would have noticed Stepdad sporting the first person out there sporting the 2021 hoodie, and it looks fantastic, and very happy with the way everything came out.
Shout out to the group of people that I had a chat with on Sunday night, after the Panthers win, and had a chat after the game, walking out. We went one way, they went the other. Then I've heard them say, that guy listens to Twill as well.
Wow.
So I've walked off into the sunset. So
hilarious.
And now that listening to this episode, the person that you were actually talking to was Stepdad himself. And you didn't realise.
I felt a bit like undercover boss. I'm in there, ground level. I'm a man of the people.
You are. They had no idea who they were talking to. Until the point where you turned around and said, Don't you even know who you're talking to? It's me, Stepdad, from This Week in League.
Yuri of Cleary.
That's it, though. Thank you, patrons. Thank you to everyone who came out over the 3 days of Magic Round, and you know, press the flesh and you know, say hello and help us put some faces to names and names to faces. It was great chatting to people, and you know, we can't wait to do it all over again. And it's a good thing that the grand final is so distantly positioned from Magic Round, because like, whilst I didn't go incredibly hard this weekend, there are some people that dead set need fucking liver transplants.
They're like after the fucking, human breweries after the at the moment.
I've seen them put away.
Awesome fucking responsibilities in their life.
Yeah. My God. Buy a fucking pet. The life you save may be your own. It was funny on the way home on Saturday night. Me and Stepdad are talking, and we're like, "Yeah, no names mentioned." We're like, you know, really worried about those. I'm really worried about those guys.
Look, and I want to say there are some people out there that I don't think should buy a pet, because the thing will end up eating you.
Hilarious.
We love you.
Anyway, great weekend. Great seeing all you guys. It. Love you, motherfuckers. And yeah, I'll talk to you boys on Wednesday.
Righto.
Later.
See ya.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.